GMS, as you know, there are six countries: Cambodia, Laos, China, Myanmar, Thailand, and Vietnam. So in China, we have two provinces, autonomous provinces, which is Yunnan and Guangxi province. So this region has a great potential. You know, ADB has put a lot of effort in setting up this, and also we have GMS summit recently with all prime ministers, and also a lot of attention also from Japan. So I think this region is vast in terms of resources, and also with the open of Myanmar country after elections, lift of the sanction by European Union, and more trade and investment will come to this region. Population-wise, in ASEAN we have close to 600 million, but in GMS itself are half, which is around 326. This is according to statistic of the EU. In terms of population, Vietnam top, which is 86 million, Thailand 67, Myanmar 59, China around 51, 45, Laos 6 million, and Cambodia. And population growth is not much, around 1 to 2% at most. Thailand also very low, 0.6, you know. And Vietnam, and Myanmar are higher, and also Laos, 0.7. GDP per capita, Thailand is still the highest, around $5,000, whereas China, second, and also Vietnam. Average annual growth rate of this, you can see that in this region you can divide into two groups. One is high growth countries like Cambodia, China, and Vietnam, Laos, we have high growth, and also medium like Thailand. So you can see that the population density, 130 square meters, which is still sparsely, and half of them living in the cities. And there's the issue of the global resource depletion. And GMS also has facing a number of challenges in the environmental deterioration, while accelerating the economic growth, social progress, and cultural development. So how we can ensure that we have sustainable growth, in the meantime, we are able to protect our environment. The common challenges is how we should require special attention for long-term sustainable growth and development of the region. I think our region is also quite different. They are vast in terms of resources like Myanmar, Laos, and even China, and also strong consumption like Thailand, and if we could include countries like Malaysia, Singapore, and Indonesia as one group of the AEC, in 3 years' time, we can see that we can be, you know, in terms of the population, more than the United States, maybe around the same as the EU. Gaps, there are, of course, in many aspects, economic, educational, cross-provincial, and cross-border. And we should also find the attention to the current environmental situation and what are the emerging issues and key drivers to mitigate the environmental issues. So this is some of the environment issues, urbanization and environment issues related to the water supply situation. This is also a big issue. Urban evolution, especially in big cities, we can do more or less in terms of urban planning. Climate change is also due to the natural forcing as well as human. I think more than 90% of the international panel on climate change have agreed that these two has caused the problem with climate change in recent. And energy, environment, and development. So this is also the issue. So So I leave the floor to Dr. Kitamura to go through this, and then when we move back to the energy, then I'll take it.
things that I just like to share with you, and actually it's not
very good news that we improved so much in Thailand in terms of sanitation, in terms of the wastewater treatment system. We invest so much, many billion US dollars in the past 10 years. And then the Ministry of the Public Health proud to say that we have more or less 100% of the pilot provisions. Of course, we can improve nicely about that the death due to the waterborne diseases. The number of the people dead due to these waterborne diseases reduced drastically, but not the morbidity. Morbidity means that if you still got infected, you still sick. Because of these waterborne diseases, you still have the diarrhea. So the number of the patients having the waterborne diseases is still increasing, whereas we invest so much. So that's why we have to think about that, how we can improve the environmental sanitation. That could be a crisis in the developing country, especially in the urban areas. The second thing is that on the urban air pollution, that also the critical issue so far, because of that many of the big vehicles, new number of that the developments in, for example, in the past 5 years, I have been to Hanoi, and then many of the Vietnamese people still use that the bicycle together with motorcycles. But now today, you are also using a lot of that the cars, many new cars coming in into the traffic. So that's why they will have a big problems on this traffic jam, whereas the public transport is still very low. So that's why we create a lot of problems that resulting in a very high emissions in terms of the sulfur dioxide, nitrogen dioxide, and particulate matter. So the particulate matter is also one of the big problems in our country so far, that even if we try a lot of that measures, for example, that the diesel engine, we try to not to use that the high sulfur, and also try to control the quality or the capacity of the diesel engines, that not too old, otherwise you cannot use, because they emit a lot of that particulate matter. In Bangkok also we have to have a big problem, and we found that from the recent scientific evidence saying that not really the toxic gas, but PM, the particulate matter, we can call it as a silent killer, because this can have decay into your lung, into your breathing system, and then cause a lot of problems of that. So that's why we still have a big problem on this, and we may need to improve a lot of that in terms of the emission treatment, and also the technology how to do that, which is another thing that we also found that based on this kind of urban air pollution, we emit about that 12% of the world's greenhouse gas as well, which is related to the industry as well as the urbanization in the cities in the country. That's the issues. Then the climate change in our region also facing a big problem, especially for those cities that situated along the coastal zone. Is that in many of the hunter cities in Manila, in even in Thailand, they are facing a big problem of that the temperature change, and then also changing of that the climate in terms of that the rainbow. And then you notice that last year we also had a big problem of the flood, because of that perhaps one of the physical problem is that they change the patterns of the storms. Then the capacity of the drainage in our country is not enough, so we are not yet well prepared how we can prepare the drainage that enough for such the many storms at the same time. So that would be the things that we need to find out, what should be the mitigation measures, and another thing is that what are the adaptive measures. Another thing that we have to prepare ourselves. So there could be many workshops, many conferences right now that to talk about this, and I'm sure that your countries also need to think about these kind of measures, how we can prepare for that. So that's why this would be the entities, the things that I just briefly talk to you about, and then we'll talk to you about the energy, environment, and development later. mentioned about three major environmental issues in GMS, mainly wastewater, water supply, and sanitation, which is a common problem in many countries. Urban air pollution, and also in addition to the local vehicle, we also have a problem with haze. As you know, that from Indonesia, there's also the fire, which also in the northern part of Thailand, in Chiang Mai, we also have the experience the similar situation. And this haze is also a common problem that we are facing. So I think how we can make sure that this is can be easily solved. In terms of climate change, it's also related to the energy environment and development. Energy consumption in the industrial region has increased exponentially with the growth of population economy. And normally we use GDP, the rate growth of energy consumption to the GDP. It can be around 1 or 1.2. It depends upon how efficient is your country in terms of energy utilization, in terms of peak load, as well as in terms of energy consumption. If you have more than 1.5, I think you are not as efficient. So I think we measure in terms of GDP growth to the energy growth. 12% of developing income is spent on energy. This is much more than OECD about 5 times. In Thailand, we import around 1 million. In terms of import, 1 million baht. 1 million baht that for the use just for only food and for consumption. So I think this is also a big issue. Provision of energy services through this combustion fleet can create also adverse environment. So President Obama also has emphasized a lot on clean energy, not only renewable energy. You know, renewable energy in terms of the size is still small. In terms of price, it's coming down, but it's not as price competitive. And also there's a big issue that we also subsidize a lot on fossil fuel. You know? How about if we remove the subsidy? Malaysia subsidized 400,000 baht. 400,000 baht, that is a million baht. Indonesia, 200,000. Thailand also 60,000, 70,000 in terms of tax, in terms of the energy promotion fund and others. So I think if we remove the subsidy, the gap between renewable and fossil fuel can be much less. So I think this is also a big issue that, and also people still don't understand that why we should go for renewable, this is so expensive and this requires more technology. But it takes millions of years, especially for fossil fuel, and you consume the last 20, 30 years, I think, with the growth of China, in terms of the economic growth, and people starting to buy cars, and then if you buy cars, you have to use more fuel. In India, we can do. So I think more and more people would like to be more comfortable in terms of travel and in terms of living comfort. So more energy consumption. So poor people still suffer. So they also forced to rely upon the most inefficient polluting sources, burning all these things, and the lack of access to better alternatives. Unfortunately, in the region we have a lot of agricultural products, especially biomass. So I think this is also a big source that we can use. And also we can have many source of ethanol. You know, we mix this E10, E20, and E85. We mix 10, 20, and 85% to the normal gasoline. I think in northern U.S., Canada, they mix 5% as a mandatory. And also there's a large potential for this to produce from the bagasse and also so produce a large quantity of this. But the only problem is the price, that how we can make sure that they are affordable. In Brazil they use E100. So in the future, if we don't have to rely on the imported fossil fuel, we can use more and more of this And also, I'm not talking about the electric vehicle, that also is coming. Either plug-in electric vehicle or mainly electric vehicle that we can use to charge. And PA has to provide more infrastructure for this going load, because they haven't planned for this type of more and more plug-in electric vehicle, which can be used as also the virtual power plant, because they can charge the battery during the night time, and they can use during the daytime, or they can discharge to the grid during the daytime. So it serves two purposes. One is as a load for the utility, and the second one is a source for the household as well as for the filling bag. And it's also served as a storage. We can have this PHEV charge in different households in your home. And also we do some studies that TOU, I think they can have a use, they can charge at much less. Okay. And there's also opportunity that we can have like charging station, like gasoline station or CNG station, which is centralized. But the problem is the charging time. Normal charging time maybe is 8 hours, quick charge maybe 3 hours, but still require a lot of time. Quick charging time, maybe you have to increase the current. Yeah. I have been to Detroit, you know, Detroit, and Thailand is also considered to be a Detroit of Asia. I think the charging station is very small, and it can be put in a parking lot. When you park, and then you can put the coin, and then you can plug in your car. That is not a problem. Unlike a normal gas station, you need a lot of right of way, you know. You cannot go to the school, to the public, because of the explosive type of this fuel. So it's very convenient. But the problem, and also there's another business model that we can look at, the Formula One. There can be a company who own the battery. You are not owning the battery, but you are lease out the battery. And then when you run out the battery, you just replace with a new one. So then you can drive immediately. You don't have to wait for 3 hours, 6 hours, 8 hours. So there's also another business model that some other company can take charge of this. And you pay, you know, yearly or whatever service that you want to do. Or depends upon how many change of battery. But the battery does not belong on you, it belongs to the company, but you lease out. So this and another, I'm not talking about even the high-speed train from Kunming to Vientiane to Bangkok, south economic corridor. And also they need a lot of electricity, you know, at least 500 megawatts. We need one dam. I went to Nam Mun 2, 700 megawatts in Laos. And also Sayaburia, we discussed this 1,000 megawatts. You need electricity. You cannot get the high-speed train or electric car without resources. You have to also consider with the source of this as well. And it has to be clean. So renewable, of course, is expected to integrate this drawback. So I think this is coming. So energy supply and derivation, that problem. And in the global issues, also fuel price, we have experienced before the Hamburger crisis 2007, we experienced $147 per barrel, and people has to pay more for the fossil fuel price and have less money for other goods and services. Not to mention about global warming, and also the flood in Thailand last year also due to the global warming, unexpected large amount of typhoons. And also the high water sea rise, which caused the problem for releasing all this water from the river. So I think this is also can be partly mentioned from this bridge. In terms of regional issues, deterioration ecology, barrier to efficient use of energy resources across the water. We also have some problem. You can see that the price differential, LPG, you know, has been heavily supported. There's a lot of Malaysia also heavily subsidized. I live in the north southern part. The price differential is 10 to 15 baht per liter. So you can see that a lot of properties. So they feel different in terms of resources. But fortunately, we have a large abundance of the hydro power. In the national context, how can we have adequate of the energy supply, affordable, not too expensive, and reliable energy? And also another issue is also food security. Energy and food now become fighting in terms of land use. You know, we are fighting in terms of only whether we should use this to serve the engine or to serve the people. Okay, so we have to fight for that. And the price of this has also caused the higher food price and food security. And we have representative deputy director of FAO also come and discuss about this food security issues. And community context.
In many
projects, ranging from the small hydropower projects to the large projects. So I think this is also an issue. I will discuss more about this. Renewable, net zero emission, not exhaustive. Solar, PV, wind, biomass, energy. So there are plenty of options. I cannot say that which one is better. Each has its own strength. So we don't know. We should go for as long as we know that there's abundance of this. Hydropower, of course, is abundant. We are close to the equator.
Large
amount of sun. It can be installed in the rooftop PV or the PV station is a big one. With the storage or without, it depends upon the system that you want to design. Hydropower, fortunately, we are good. But again, how to mitigate this environmental impact? We have seen the many issues for the international river, like the river, Lansan River, and so how we can make sure that the impact of this is minimal, because the impact not only impact a lot on the downstream countries of this. Wind, of course, they are not as strong as in Europe and Northern America, or even Japan. I have been to Hokkaido 12 years ago. There are large wind from Siberia that can install the onshore wind farm. But in Thailand, maybe southern part. In Vietnam, maybe in the coastal zone area, so there's a potential. In mountain area in Laos, I think there's a potential that we can install. Biomass, of course, we have done since 1990. And this is also due to the technology of coal generation or combined heat and power. Energy crops, good potential, but threats to food crops with joint resources. How about contract farming? How about farming in Laos and environment? I think this is also another potential. Transportation fuel for ethanol, biofuel energy for biodiesel, all these things can also be used. And of course, electricity can be considered as derivative of the primary energy resource, okay, because it's the most convenient form of energy that you can use. It's not primary form like coal or hydro or wind or something like this. So we can call them as a derivative of this. And it can come from the fossil or renewable. Production, this I just listened to one of the sources that we may also be on the verge of declining fossil fuels. So if that theory is true, if the increasing in terms of energy consumption, we have to supplement it with renewable energy. There's no other way around that we have to. It may be supplemented by nuclear energy. I knew that in Vietnam they also plan in 3 years. Now in Thailand also have the delay for another 3 years. So I think in some other countries, they haven't stopped the nuclear power yet because they feel that there's still not enough energy supply to serve them. If that is true, we are on the verge of decreasing or declining the fossil fuel energy. So we can extract the energy from seashell, all these more expensive or deep sea exploration, you know. And we also have to look at the energy return on energy investment. You don't spend more energy than energy that you get think this is also something we have to. So this energy input output is also another big issue. We must have more return on energy investment more than one. I think this is the fact that we have to keep in mind. Renewable as the ultimate energy is to fuel the demand, okay? And then by declining fossil fuels. So we utilize, but again, we still ensure that even though we rely on renewable energy, they're still adequate for everyone. It's also affordable for everyone, for sustainable energy goal, economic goal. So the way to put forward, we have to prioritize those areas of urgent action on climate change, there's some policy instrument related to this. So I think what happened is to achieve the sustainable development of GMS, energy development as individual, as a group, is given as centrality and priority at which environmental quality, natural resource shall be maintained to ensure social development and environmental sustainability. Climate change, with the Tokyo Convention, even though it's over, talk about the all this issue of CDM. The CDM project is also the issue of trying to replace them. Also, I just want to mention that the interconnection development or even hydropower development in the countries like Laos, and it helped to mitigate the climate change. Because once it's replaced with fossil fuel or coal fire in Thailand, at the end, it reduces the emission. And also, it's in terms of the collaboration of interconnection. You know, infrastructure development is a big investment. It has very low return on investment. So why don't we try to cooperate with each other in terms of sharing system reserve in different countries, in terms of mobilizing energy from one country to another country, in terms of sharing the country which is rich, like hydro from Laos, and selling to Cambodia or another part of Laos which lack of infrastructure. At the end, everyone can benefit. It's a win-win situation. It's not win or lose. So I think once we develop together, okay, it's not like if I develop, you are getting poorer and poorer. It's not the way. If ASEAN as a member, so I think this is the way that they try to, you know, strengthen this collaboration and more and more. Promote eco-innovation and the voluntary sector approach for the nation. I feel that mandatory program, in my opinion, this is more effective. In terms of demand side management, we phase out inefficient. You know, phase out inefficient, that automatically take care of the problem rather than having all these inefficient waters and light and so on. So I think this, we all have to share because energy supply is less and we are more concerned with water pollution, water pricing to increase efficient use. Water is free. So that's why hydropower is so cheap. You put the hydro and let water run through the turbine, then you get electricity as a byproduct. But in Thailand, the hydropower development is the main purpose is for irrigation. It's not for electricity. Electricity is just a byproduct. Unlike water, hydropower development in Laos, the main purpose is for generating electricity and also flood control in some cases. So increased sustainable financing of water supply and sanitation, we lack, as Dr. Tomran mentioned, and also create a lot of the waterborne disease, different kinds of disease, and lack of proper, I would say, proper monitoring and control. You know, law enforcement is a big issue in this developing countries. We have law which is good, but how to monitor and enforcement of these type of things has to be better practice, you know, integrated water management, river basin management. Emphasis on economic market based green tax for the pricing, emission trading, pricing pollutant, waste charge, removal environment and harmful subsidies, focus on putting price on the back rather than subsidizing. Energy related, we put a lot of subsidy. You can see that biofuel, bioethanol, biodiesel and others, the price is much lower than other counterparts. compensating on polluting energy for local affected community. We also have started this local community fund, which will be used to help in terms of improving infrastructure, schools, like better livelihood of Japanese and others. You know, when in Japan, the nuclear power is coming to back your back, that everyone is happy because they can feel that they will be part of it, and they can also get a lot of benefit from these projects. Licensing system for energy crops, national energy. Policy make regulation standards. We could have a green standard for the ASEAN or Europe. ASEAN has its own charter. Charter of ASEAN is a strong bond the countries to fulfill the commitment. But GMS has yet to develop one. I feel that there's also a need. And GMS is also has a big advantage because of Chinese participation. I have been to the workshop by Dubai, and not only this country, but central government of China also has put a lot of emphasis in the GMS, you know, especially the impact on environment, social, from Lanzhou, hydropower development, and cascaded dams, and so I think I feel very happy to have more and more participation. Hydropower in GMS context. We knew that the hydro can range from small, even people, very small hydro, medium, and even large. They consider to be clean and cheap in production. Once you install, the rest is just small operation and maintenance. Being renewable, they are largest potential among them. Even though NGO doesn't like it, but again we have to listen and work with them and show that they also benefit from having this type of power. Coherent with the irrigation and flood control. During the flood season, we should have it to control the flood. During the dry season, we should release the water to make sure that we have the water all year. I think this is also, and also large untapped hydropower in GMS countries. I heard that even Laos, they also potentially can produce up to 30,000 megawatts of hydropower. Cons: impact of the downstream ecosystem, loss of nutrient, sediment, field type, loss of forestry area, and in dependable capacity. So I think this is also, there's many solution for that. I'll go to that later. This is another development mechanism which is quite interesting that I want to share with all of you on the PDF, which is called Power Development Fund. This is a case of Thai electricity supply industry. So in the compliance with the Energy Industry Act in 2007, we have created a so-called Power Development Fund. And this Power Development Fund is used to encourage electrification to our local community as support for rural development, and to develop local community who are affected from the production of the power plants, as well as to promote renewable and environmental friendly technologies. The sources come from generation licensee, penalty fee for some legal violation, donors, profit accumulated from the fund retained outside central fiscal account, so you can keep it as long as you have money, and managed by Energy Regulatory Commission of the ERC. So they subsidize power utilities, deploys who are affected by remote areas like PA. They have been working a lot, close to 99% new electrification, but I knew that in developing countries we still lack. We are not lacking of the water energy supply. There's a large in hydro power in Cambodia, in Laos, but we lack infrastructure, distribution, transmission, etc. I think this is also, the return on investment is also very low. So I think this is also what we have done. Subsidized final consumer who are affected from default action undertaken by system operator, like local community who are affected, promote renewable, and educate. I think this is also another activity that we are doing, budgetary for administration. The idea is they will get the yearly payment during construction, 50,000 baht per megawatt per year. or at least to guarantee that if the size is smaller than 1 megawatt, they will get at least 50,000. And during operation, they will get a monthly payment. So in terms of natural gas, one's about also detail, 1.5, coal ignite 2 sabang, wind 1, biomass, hydro 2. You can even add nuclear 5 sabang. So I think that the different type cannot be the same. It can be, if you want to promote more, then you can add more. And the local community who are affected, it depends upon gigawatt hour per year that you generate. If it's less than 100, it's only 1 kilometers. If it's 100 to 5,000, it's 3 kilometers. If it's more than 5,000, it's 5 kilometers. So the local PDF we receive in terms of the yearly payment during construction and monthly payment during the operation. So there's a continued stream of the fund which you can use it for some other purposes. So this is some of the reference and also just want to touch upon one of the projects. Sayaburi kind of power project. Sayaburi itself is considered to be not the large grand dam. It doesn't have the large reserve. It's more or less like a runoff river. In Thailand we call Bai. But in English we call runoff river. So the head is only 30 meters. Unlike I went to Nam Mun 2, it's like 180 meters of large. Mostly, the company that is running is the Chao Dan Cha, and the main purpose is also to sell electricity to Hawaii. Sayaburi Hydropower Project is a runoff river type, reinforced concrete 810 meters with only 30 meter height, which is small. 7 generator with 175 megawatts, 1,225 megawatts selling to Thailand, and 1 generator with 60 megawatts. So total installed capacity 1,285 with 7,370 million kilowatts. So you can see how much CO2 reduction we can reduce, replacing also from getting this from hydropower. And it helps in terms of economic development. Thailand good relationship for they have more money to buy goods and service from Thailand for development. So, clean electricity, what is the benefit for 29 years with the average of around 7,000? Peak selling price is about 2.16 for 29 years. So, the reason why the price is low because of the low cost of the electricity. Of course, EGAT will reduce that to come up with the average price as well. And also, everyone got the benefit. Even some neighboring country can also sell this electricity to Cambodia and some other Laos at a very low cost of countries. I knew that we had some negotiation with China Southern Power Grid to have the interconnection. But again, they need to construct the transmission to Laos. I think it's HBDC. I think this is also another big project. And promotion of economic development between two countries. And what are the environmental issues? Fish path, they also have construct. They have invested more than 2 billion pounds to allow fish to go to the upstream to lay their eggs. So I think this is also. Boat lock is also allow the boat to cruise. You know, there's no problem among this. And I just got some news that even in Austria they have a famous river called Danube. They have more than 7 runoff river line, producing more than 25% of their electricity consumption in Austria, as well as to have this type of things. So I think we also I heard that even in Laos there are additional four projects. Two from China, one from Vietnam. Sediment, there's large amount of raining season, small amount of dry season. Water release is controlled at the same rate as a natural water flow, so the impact of sediment can be very minimal. Erosion protection, water level at upstream not more than 0.5. Water change, water level at downstream lower than 1.5. So water level at upstream is almost constant, and water level at the downstream is controlled almost the same rate as the natural being up. So the impact of this is also another thing. But again, this type of project has to go through the another intergovernmental organization called MRC for Sustainable Development. This is called Project PPC, Project Pride Consultation Process. The requirement for 1995 Mekong Agreement for the countries to join the group. Now, as of now, we have four countries: Laos, Cambodia, Thailand, and Vietnam. So I think Myanmar and China are yet to join. So I think this is also to reach some consensus and also to help mitigate the environmental and social and other issues at the downstream. So mainstream power project can bring this significant benefit in terms of renewable, budget revenue, but can also cause economic and social impact of local and transboundary. Local, we are talking about local community, transboundary impact, which is common in other countries. In addition, combination of other hydropower growth impact can have there's also another scheme called public participation is considered necessary, especially for SAIAPU prior consultation process, as we aim to involve people in the process that may affect the future. Public participation aims to enable information of a full range of perspectives, expectation and levels, which will be presented in the decision. So that's the end of my presentation by both of us. Be very happy to have 10 to 15 minutes to further discuss on these issues that you want to share, then we can have more ideas exchange on this issue. Or maybe Q&A, question and answer, or even comments, which you may not be our answer, but more or less to provoke more discussion or some other aspect that we are not covering or missing. I think this is also another issue. I think there's no second book, okay, so we have to protect what we have, our beauty. And we forget about writing the second book and getting more resources, better environment. We have it here, so I think how we can make sure that can stay with us, not only in our generation, but for the next generation, better. At the end, it also lead to the better quality. So we should expect our younger generation should have much much better quality of life.